As we begin in the life of our church to move through the Westminster Confession of Faith on Sunday evenings, during our Confession of Faith element as part of our regular liturgy, I see a need for more exposition on the subjects at hand than an evening service might allow for. I feel like it might be useful to the members of Reformation OPC to take a little bit of time, that is, my time and your time, to discuss the chapters and paragraphs in greater detail so that we might all gain a greater understanding of the glorious doctrines contained in the pages of the Westminster Confession of Faith. In addition, I have a planned history, or brief history, of the Westminster Assembly that met from 1643 to 1649, including the historical and societal setting that surrounded the work of those men as they produced what remains the single greatest work of theological summary the Church has ever seen. I hope that this little explainer series, which will go on for some weeks to be sure, will be of use to the families of Reformation, OPC, and Gastonia, North Carolina, and others as well. You are welcome to provide feedback in order to improve my efforts. I will, of course, begin where the Westminster Divines began, and that is Chapter 1 of the Holy Scripture. As with the opening of any new chapter as I proceed through this series, it is probably appropriate that I provide some introductory comments which will help in providing a deeper and more robust understanding of the topic as a whole and how each chapter presents to us unique and essential doctrines that are part of a holistic Reformed confessional faith. As to why it is the first chapter of this document is on the Scripture, that is, God's revelation to men, especially in the written, recorded revelation of God in the 66 books of the Bible, we need to understand why it is this was the first chapter. Why is it that this particular topic takes priority over all glorious and essential topics of theology? And it really comes down to this. In answer to the question, how do you know what you know? The answer that the Christian provides is, because the Bible tells me. The revelation of God, specifically the special revelation of God, that is, the Word of God, is the Christian's a priori principle. That is, the Word of God is that source and fount of all knowledge past which no more appeals can be made. And so when the question is put to us, how do we know what we know? We must rightly answer, because the Bible tells us. And so, as it is with all elements of theology within the Westminster Confession of Faith, we know these things because we believe the Bible teaches them. Now, let's get to the first paragraph of the first chapter, Chapter 1 of Holy Scripture, Paragraph 1. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men unexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of His will which is necessary unto salvation. The first sentence expresses that there is something that nature teaches all men that is both clear and unavoidable. All men, meaning anyone who has ever lived, that is, of their right mind and is able to normally interact with and in creation. Not only creation as that first act where God made all things of nothing, but also in the way that God rules or orders events as the one who does so and for the purpose of making Himself clear to all men, converted or not. What is meant by unexcusable is that no man can say, I did not know there was a God who was my maker and my judge. What is left out in nature is the way to salvation, the way of salvation being covered in the second part of this first paragraph, which reads, "Therefore it pleased the Lord at sundry times and in divers manners to reveal himself and to declare that his will unto his church and afterwards for the better preserving and propagating of the truth and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and of the world, to commit the same wholly unto writing, which maketh the Holy Scripture to be most necessary, those former ways of God revealing his will unto his people being now ceased." This sentence deals especially with the topic of special revelation, which is another way to express the revelation of God given directly by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to men. The enduring part of it, being called Holy Scripture, was given in different ways and at different times, as I said earlier, to different men, but all for a central purpose: to bring men to an awareness of the infallible truth that proclaims his will unto building his kingdom, of his church throughout all the earth, that is, the triune maker and redeemer and sustainer of all life. It is in the Bible that we find the only infallible rule for faith and practice. That it is written shows us God's intention that the whole entire church, past, present, and future, and throughout the earth, is meant to build their lives upon it. As far as this kind of revelation is concerned, it has ceased in its being given as a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit to chosen men. So let me summarize. God has revealed himself in nature and in Scripture, generally and specially, so that we might know what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. Do you wish to know what to believe and how to live? Then open the Bible, pray that God would teach you, and he will, by his Spirit, give you wisdom and understanding according to his word.